Welcome to Tungsten, Bulletproof Hacks for the Moth-Eaten. I'm Christine Bruce. Consider me your grandmotherly accomplice for the next half hour. Tungsten broadcasts at the saddest hour on Wet'suwet'en territory through CICK 93.9 FM, stationed in a 100-year-old train car in Smithers, BC. Something I haven't done in a while, but should, is hold a dinner party. Now, before you think I'm getting all highfalutin, the food is never going to be haute cuisine at my place. What I like to host are pizza parties, where a bunch of family members, friends, or even new acquaintances gather, and everyone brings a pizza topping. We make dinner together. And serendipitously, I have a book and some personal stories that fit into our theme perfectly. Let's go get into some mischief together. My dinner parties were usually a mishmash of friends and neighbors, and sometimes family, but always people who I thought would like to get together. The focus was creating a homemade pizza together, but we also enjoyed board and card games after dinner over tea or wine. It made for a nice evening of social networking and laughter. The magazine Bon Appetit describes dinner parties as the fuzzy blanket of adulthood. And I quote, "The psychological benefits of a modern dinner party are real," says Jerome Burke, a clinical psychologist who has spoken widely about how they can save your life. Anticipation, laughter, physical affection like a hug, and resting turn on a variety of systems in the body that contribute to well-being. A dinner party can activate the will to live and the I love living circuitries like nothing else, he says. I've never thought of dinner parties that way before. If you're a nervous or an impatient cook like me, or the people you're gathering are strangers, it could get complicated, which is why I go for the simple, comforting menu of a pizza with a bunch of low-key friends. Finger food meals are much less stress and better at getting people to interact. One of my young friends recently introduced me to a book whose front cover flap poses the question, "What do you do when Pete's in a bad mood?" The answer? You turn him into a pizza, of course. The book Pete's a Pizza by William Steig is meant to be read with someone young, preferably in person. However, if what you've got is a couple of adults, consider this a book version of Twister. Maybe ask for permission first before the hands-on part. So here's a few excerpts from the book. Pete's in a bad mood. Just when he's supposed to play ball with the guys, it decides to rain. Pete's father can't help noticing how miserable his son is. He thinks it might cheer Pete up to be made into a pizza. So he sets him down on the kitchen table and starts kneading the dough. Roll, roll, roll the dough, roll, roll, roll the dough, and stretching it this way and that. Now the dough gets whirled and twirled up in the air. But when the dough gets tickled, it laughs like crazy. Pizzas aren't supposed to laugh. Pizza makers aren't supposed to tickle their pizzas. Well, says Pete's father, it's time for this pizza to be put into the oven. Pete's a Pizza by William Steig. It's a great little interactive book. I really enjoy reading this one with the kids. I'm not sure how it would go over with adults at a pizza party, though. Everyone has their own ideas about what should go on a pizza. That's because everyone is different. And I loved that our dinners gave us space to experiment, both with pizza toppings and with social interactions. The groups I gathered were odd collections of people from a wide assortment of fields and interests. A social worker, a retired nurse, a poet, a personal trainer, a retired teacher, people I volunteer for and with from organizations in town, and the odd visiting family member sprinkled in. Guests spoke with different accents and sometimes came from distant lands, as they say in books. Once, my waitress and I took a shine to each other, so I invited her to a dinner. It turned out she'd recently landed in Smithers from Germany. It felt like she'd been parachuted into the setting. If my guests come from an obvious diversity of opinions on what should go on a pizza, say one insists on a doughy crust with cheese and pepperoni, while another one is big on vegetable crusts and lots of greens, then I might send out an email alerting the guests of the type of crust and sauce I'd be providing, giving them a hint of the direction we could take. If things were in jeopardy, I'd provide two kinds of crusts and sauces, so everyone's palate was happy. Here are a few of the pizza options we experimented with and really loved during our Year of the Pizza. And because these recipes mostly came out of our heads and went into our own personal cookbook, there are no copyright restrictions and I can read as much as I like. So there. Consider these our favorites from that winter. And if you're wondering why it ended, well, COVID. I know you can buy a pizza dough with nothing on it, or you can make your own. And I don't know about you, but I really like this part. So if you just throw a teaspoon of yeast into 1 1/4 cups of warm water with a teaspoon of honey, you combine them and then you let them sit for 10 minutes. Then add 4 cups of flour and a teaspoon of salt and mix it until it can be made into a ball. Knead it for 10 full minutes on a floured surface, like Pete's father did. Although I don't think this dough is going to complain about being tickled. You throw all that into an oiled glass bowl and cover it with a clean tea towel. Now, the recipes always say to let it rise for about an hour, but I've had bakers tell me to leave it in that bowl for an entire day in a calm location with no drafts. A day. You really do get better dough that way. Okay, whenever you decide to, punch it down and let it resettle. Replace the towel with a lid and store that covered bowl in the refrigerator overnight. An hour before baking, take the dough from the refrigerator and allow it to warm up again. I know this sounds like a lot of thinking ahead, but I think you'd be glad you did. Preheat the oven to 425. Once it's warmed up, knead the dough slightly on a floured surface. With your fingertips, begin to shape the dough to fit your cookie sheet. Toss it in the air a couple times if you can to open it up and stretch the dough. Or if you're not very good at that part, like me, then just gently stretch it out with your hands. Cover it with the desired toppings and bake it for 10 minutes. Here are a couple of baking tips I've learned over that year. You only need 1 teaspoon of yeast. You can rest the dough for an hour, a day, or even overnight, but the longer the better because the texture of the dough really does improve. And never shape the dough after it rises with a rolling pin because you know what you're doing? You're removing all the air pockets, and air pockets is what gives dough its best textures. Okay, the next recipe I want to share with you is a cauliflower pizza crust. You take 4 cups of cauliflower florets and you rice them, which means you chop them up as fine as you can. Then, preheat the oven to 400 degrees. If you're using fresh cauliflower, steam it until it's tender. If you're using frozen cauliflower, thaw it completely. Then, you throw the cauliflower through a food processor and chop it really fine, or chop it with a knife until it's the size of rice. You want about 4 cups of cauliflower florets. Transfer the cauliflower to a clean, thin dish towel and squeeze all the moisture out of it. This is really important. It's kind of fun to do, too. A lot of extra liquid will be released, which will leave you with a drier crust. In a large bowl, mix together your cauliflower, an egg, a teaspoon of dried oregano, 1/3 cup of goat cheese, and a pinch of salt. And once you've got them all mixed together, press that dough onto a baking sheet lined with parchment paper. Bake it for 30 to 35 minutes until it's dry and golden. Use the parchment paper to flip the crust over and bake again until the other side is dry, which is another 10 to 15 minutes. Once that's done, add your favorite pizza toppings and return it to the oven to bake for an additional 5 to 10 minutes until whatever you got on there is baked and the cheese is hot and bubbly. The sauces were always my favorite part of the experiment. I'd been raised in an environment where, of course, your pizza includes a tomato sauce. So when guests suggested otherwise, I was really intrigued. Here are a few of those ideas, with a list of ingredients to get you salivating. How about a blue cheese sauce with onions, garlic, white wine, some cream, butter, flour, milk, lemon juice, Worcestershire sauce, parsley, salt and pepper, and of course, blue cheese. Oh, that was good. Then there was a cashew cream sauce. You'd include cashews, nutritional yeast, a garlic clove, some miso, some oil and water, and some lemon juice. Not only was that tasty, it was really good for you. How about a creamed corn sauce? This was my personal favorite. some corn kernels with heavy cream, salt and pepper, obviously, a little bit of sugar or not, with the butter, flour, milk, and Parmesan cheese. Then there was the mushroom sauce. No surprises, but really interesting. So again, butter and oil, mushrooms, some garlic, some white wine, some chicken or vegetable broth, a bit of heavy cream and some Parmesan, and some fresh thyme leaves, or maybe some dried, if that's what you've got in the house. We discovered that throwing vegetable and fruit toppings on different sauces willy-nilly wasn't ideal. Some tastes pair extremely well together and others not so much. So here are one or two suggestions for toppings that pair well with sauces. Oh, get into my mouth, you. You're going to probably put things like broccoli florets, halved cherry tomatoes, some corn kernels, red onion, a little bit of jalapeno pepper, some sun-dried tomatoes diced up, some fresh basil or some fresh thyme leaves, some pinches of red pepper flakes. It was really good together. If you like the blue cheese sauce, another one that I really liked was gorgonzola and fruit toppings. So you make a gorgonzola cheese sauce and you add things like a pear or an apple. Or you could also make a bare pizza crust and throw on a garlic drizzle, which is just oil and garlic sitting for a few days. And then you throw on chunks of gorgonzola with pear and apple. The cheese will melt onto the crust, and it's just divine. Another thing that's really good over cheese and fruit toppings is arugula. You mix it together with a little bit of oil and salt and pepper, and you sprinkle it over the cooked pizza and serve it immediately.
Nilikwenda pale Uganda nilifurahi na tingi tingi we. Nilikwenda pale Uganda nilifurahi na tingi tingi wo. Magereti Wangare asante sana kunipokea mali vizuri we. Magereti Wangare asante sana kunipokea mali vizuri. Hebu tucheze zote mchezo wa tingi tingi, sasa tufanye nini? Mchezo wa tingi tingi shiro, tufanye nini shiro? Tuime yote shiro. Hey, ha, hey, ho, hey, ha, hey, ha, hey, ho, ha, wacha wewe. Vijana wa Kenya na wengi wenu mukienda mbali mutapotea we. Vijana wa Kenya na wengi wenu mukienda mbali mutapotea we. Mukiwa kijana tembea uone mengi ya dunia we. Ukiwa kijana tembea uone mengi ya dunia we. Nilikwenda pale Uganda nilifurahi na tingi tingi we. Nilikwenda pale Uganda nilifurahi na tingi tingi wo. Magreti Wangare asante sana kunipokea mali vizuri we. Magreti Wangare asante sana kunipokea mali vizuri. Hebu tucheze zote mchezo wa tingitingi, sasa tufanye nini? Mchezo wa tingitingi shiro, tufanye nini shiro? Tuime yote shiro, tufanye nini shiro? Tuime yote shiro. Hey, haya, ho, hey. Cheers.
chezo wa tingi tingi Sasa tufanya nini Chezo wa tingi tingi Shiro Tufanya nini Shiro Tuimbe yote Shiro Tufanya nini Shiro Tuimbe yote Shiro Hey, ha, hey, ho, hey, ha, hey, ha, hey, ho, hey, ha, hey, watch your word, baba Tufanya nini Shiro Tuimbe yote Shiro
You're listening to Tungsten on CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC, and I'm Christine Bruce. Where does your brain go geographically when you get hungry? Mine usually moseys on over to the Bulkley Valley Farmers Market. The ability to tell my food producers how much I love their products is a highlight of my day. I'm not saying I wish the spring would arrive early, because every season is pretty nifty, but I am looking forward to the day the market opens in the spring. I can't wait to visit with the people who grow colorful, delicious vegetables, and the farmers who ethically raise my meats, the bakers who test out different recipes to find the heartiest, yummiest sticky buns, those poultry farmers whose eggs taste wholesome. I can buy exquisite mushrooms, local berries in season. I can sit and listen to great music or catch up on this week's news over a remarkably good cup of coffee. On Saturday mornings, even my dog waits impatiently by the door because he knows to expect a treat from one of the farmers. And you know, many of these producers, farmers, and friends are hoping to see me at the market. Farmers markets elevate the shopping experience in ways that a walk down a grocery aisle can never do. It's such a great adventure every week. The Bulkley Valley Farmers Market, one of my favorite CICK sponsors. Instead of giving you a word of the week, I want to encourage you to find a cheese that you've never tried and bring it home. Or, and I realize this is a stretch, but why not try making halloumi? It's a type of cheese called squeaky cheese because of the sound it makes when you bite into it. It's not hard to make. I made halloumi with a friend in Turkey. It just took some time and the result was fun and satisfying. Or you might try watching Wallace and Gromit's A Grand Day Out. The cheese-loving inventor Wallace and his dog Gromit run out of cheese. Believing the moon is made of cheese, they build a rocket and fly to the moon. A Grand Day Out is a 1989 British stop-motion animated short film, directed, animated, and co-written by Nick Park at the National Film and Television School in Beaconsfield and Aardman Animations in Bristol. In my late 20s and early 30s, I had a friend in Ontario who was a film studies graduate. He loved international movies and would regularly bring one over so we could watch it together. Joe introduced me to a lot of stellar movies that way. With this episode of Tungsten, I'm reminded of the 1987 Danish movie, Babette's Feast. The movie is based on a short story by Isaac Dinesen and is directed by Gabriel Axel. During the late 19th century, a strict religious community in a Danish village takes in a French refugee from the Franco-Prussian War as a servant to the late pastor's daughters. When the community begins to quarrel, Babette prepares an elaborate and elegant feast, which brings them all together. A community-building exercise. What fun! It was the first Danish film to win the Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film. I highly recommend it. The music from the movie was mostly liturgical, which I didn't feel fit in with the theme today. So I've selected the Sondheim Bridal Trilogy, Part 2, played by the Danish String Quartet. Okay, here's a life hack that I would really encourage you to try. And I've sort of alluded to it already. The year of the, and then insert food idea here. It was a life hack I implemented in Toronto when I lived on the Danforth. There were several specialty shops there that gave me the idea to try new things, like cheeses. I'd walk into the local cheese shop and confer with the shopkeeper. Did I want a soft or a hard cheese that week? With or without seasonings? Something local or imported? We would confer on it, and I would take something new home every week. I have a couple of cheese stories to share with you, so grab your brew of choice and get cozy. My first story goes back to that little cheese shop on the Danforth, gone now, I think, if Google search can be trusted. It was one of those slightly crowded shops where even one other shopper means rubbing elbows and possibly competing over that smackerel of cheese that's caught your eye, a la Winnie the Pooh. We'd always begin with, do you want something hard or soft? So the proprietor could position himself behind the correct end of the counter. Then he'd make recommendations. I always came away feeling I'd learned something, even if I didn't want to repeat the choice I came home with. One day I decided to be particularly adventurous. Behind the counter was an old hand-painted wooden sign of a cleric with a board of cheese. It bore the title, The Stinking Bishop. I want some of that, I told my shopkeeper, who eyed me a little suspiciously. Are you sure? He hesitated, knowing how powerful this particular cheese was. I took home a small slab of the bishop, feeling slightly defensive. Of course I wanted to try it. All the way home, an aroma of soft, well-aged cheese emanated from my backpack. There was nothing delicate about the stinking bishop. Unlocking my apartment door, I was met by my cat, Ella. Now, Ella never met me at the door unless her meal was late, and even then, it had to be on the extreme end of late. Ella did not bother herself with these small administrative details, and we had a pretty good understanding. After all, Ella's litter box hadn't been cleaned in a timely manner by her previous owner, whose hockey bag was generously doused in cat pee as retribution. I knew better than to try her. Still, there was Ella eyeing me with great interest. She smelled the bishop. In the kitchen, I got our dinner started. Ella's enthusiasm was making her impatient, so I pulled out the cheese and put it on the table. Ella climbed into my chair and sniffed the package boldly. I cut her a piece and she devoured it and then stared hard at the package, hoping for more. I obliged and then took a smallish bit for myself. It was strong, so strong that I could only eat small bits occasionally. But Ella would rush into the kitchen every time the fridge door opened and the bishop's aroma was released into the apartment. The next Saturday, I went into the cheese shop and the proprietor knew me. Immediately, he inquired, "Well, how did you like the stinking bishop?" "Well, I thought it was okay, but my cat gives it 5 stars, I told him. "Good to know," he laughed. Okay, my second story is called Tom de Gaston. One of the neighborhoods I lived in while in Toronto was the St. Clair West area, which meant the nearest farmer's market was the Wychwood Barns. One of the farmers who would sometimes travel from Renfrew County on Saturdays was a cheese farmer. All of his cheeses were made from sheep's milk, and they were exceptionally delicate and tasty. One morning, he had tasters out for us to try. When I squealed at how good it was, you'll have to take my word for it, but it was remarkable. He told me it was called Tombe de Gaston. Knowing a smattering of French, "The Tomb of Gaston?" I hesitated, sure I'd heard wrong. He laughed. "No, the Fields of Gaston," he told me, "and Gaston is the name of our sheepdog." "How romantic," I enthused, and bought a hefty slab of the cheese from him. That was 13 years ago, but you know I've never forgotten the name of it, nor the happiness it gave me to eat the consequence of Gaston's hard work. Here are a couple of life hack suggestions for you. Designate a period of time to explore new adventures. For instance, the year of the cheese, pizzas for a long winter, a season of dinner parties. Repeating them makes them that much more fun each time. Another life hack suggestion. Invite friends over for dinners where you make the dinner together. Or order takeout in and play games together. Whatever you choose. Keep it simple, Snooky. You've been listening to Tungsten, Bulletproof Hacks for the Moth-Eaten. Tungsten is produced by Christine Bruce, aired through CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC. Available anytime at smithersradio.com or anywhere you get your podcasts. Let's do it again soon. There were no guests today, just us getting into mischief together. However, there might be several guests at your place one evening soon. Want to read the entire Pizza Pizza by William Stig? Visit your library or bookshop. Pizza Pizza was published in 1998 and is popular with pizzas of all ages. In case you need a little fix this week, I'll leave you with a few life hacks. Get a library card. Invite friends over. Get out on your bicycle. Cuddle a cat. Call your mom. Email your farmer's market vendors and tell them you can't wait until spring. Write a letter. Go out for a coffee. Get some tree therapy.